Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, December 1st, 7:33 Central Time. Joining me by phone this morning, the Reverend Joshua Scheer from Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Scheer.
Good morning, Andy. How are you?
I'm well. A blessed Advent to you, sir.
Blessed Advent to you. Indeed, we are at that time of expectation and celebration and even penitence of our Lord's coming, past, present, and future.
And Happy New Year, too.
Yes, Happy New Year. I said that yesterday to a bunch of children in my congregation. They looked at me strange. they learned yesterday about Advent, so which is a good thing. So lots of good stuff that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed.
What do you have for us this week at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Well, I've got a couple different things. One is, of course, to remind your listeners that if you like to read our articles or listen to us on radio or see that we, you know, sponsor things like Concord Matters on KFUO, we have our national conference coming up in February, and that's up in Naperville, Illinois, and that's February 20th and 21st, and it's entitled When Heterodoxy Hits Home. The idea of a lot of the false doctrine and false practices, they have a very personal nature to them. They're not just philosophical things or theoretical things, but they come home and they become real concrete, whether you're talking about in a congregation or in a home life, things like that. So we have a great lineup of speakers coming to speak on how we deal with that as Lutherans, how we deal with that as Christians, what our scriptures have to say about it, what our confessions have to say about it, what good, loving practice has to say about it. And it should be a really good conference of a variety of speakers that are all good in their own respects, but they'll all be trying to address this, and some from different angles than others. So it should be a good good conference in that respect. So you can check out our website for that if you would like. And there's a banner right across the top that you can get to, and check it out. More information there. So.
And that's coming up in February, correct?
February 20th and 21st, and I know that's right after Ash Wednesday, but this is the dates when we usually do it, and, well, you know, Lutherans and tradition, so I like to stay with the same things, so which is good. Otherwise, I've got a couple articles today that I wanted to focus on. One is one from a couple weeks ago. It's actually dropped off the front page, but because of the issues last week, I wasn't able to cover it. And it's by Pastor Carl Weber, in which he entitles it Open Communion and Same-Sex Union Advocates United in Faulty Understanding of Love. It's a long title, but what it means is basically the big problems that we face in our churches, you know, as pastors, we have to deal with open communion. The idea that anyone and everyone should be able to come and have the Lord's Supper with each other at your altar, at your communion rails. And then also, of course, the modern-day gay marriage, same-sex union, whatever phrasing you want to put it, that they both promote their ideas. Those who would say that we can commune all together, regardless of differences in belief or anything like that, and then those who believe that marriage can be for anyone and everyone, and whatever preferences you have, that they both use the definition of love. That's the same, and it's the world's definition of love. And it's not God's definition of love. And so this is the kind of love that makes excuses, that allows us to shun our Creator and disregard His Word, because it's, you know, this worldly love which takes a hold of people and drags them into worldly things. So disregarding God's Word, God's name, God's institutions, whether you're talking about the Lord's Supper or marriage, that they both have roots in God. And so he has the word on, and he has a say on what they are. And the world's definition of love would say, no, our version of love has the say on what it is. So, of course, you know, to deny someone communion would be unloving, and to deny someone marriage is unloving. Well, not according to God's word, which is the final arbiter of love. And what is a loving course of action versus what's not. So I think it's a good article to take a look at. Again, It's off the main page. You have to go to the bottom and click on older posts, and you can get it there.
You bring up a really good point, the world's definition of love, and quite often what happens is we use the world's definition of love even when reading the scriptures and yes. and misunderstand the scriptures. A great point that I think I learned from a few weeks ago back during Maggie Carner's interview with CNN when she was approaching the topic of physician-assisted suicide. And said, you know, we need to have a discussion about this, but we need to be working from the same vocabulary, the same lexicon. And that's true when it comes to the scriptures. We need to be working from the same lexicon. We need to have a working understanding of the terms that are used in scripture and what they actually mean. I guess that's why it's important to understand, you know, to have an understanding of the original languages to some degree as well.
We do, which is, of course, an article I want to talk about next, but just to add to that, God's love, if you want to define the word love, you can't go outside of the cross for that. You want the finest example of God's love? Well, you have the crucified Jesus, and there you have God's love. And to the world, it looks like a man is cursed, and it looks like, he's forgotten. He's left alone. He's abandoned by all of his friends. He's abandoned by his own God. And yet there you have love, God's love. And sometimes God's love doesn't look very pleasant to the eye. It doesn't look very pleasant, especially to the world's eye. But you are right about the languages and defining terms and all these different things that when we get sloppy with vocabulary, lots of crazy things can happen, and especially in regards to the church, and when the church gets engaged with the world, it gets really messy, because of course the world has its own vocabulary, and we do need to sit down and gate and say, what kind of love are you actually talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
So, in regards to those languages, Dr. Matthew Phillips, who's a professor at Concordia, Nebraska, he wrote an article entitled Martin Luther, Augustine, and the Languages. And in that, he uses a familiar quote from Luther that he talks about how helpful the languages, that is the Greek and the Hebrew, and he even includes Latin, of course, how helpful they are for a clear understanding of the scriptures. And this is not meant to draw doubt upon our translations, especially something like the English Standard Version, which is used, I think, in our most of our congregations due to its usage in our hymnals. But it does help say that, you know, when there are so many translations, there can be confusion created by the variety of translations out there. And the knowledge of the languages helps to sort that out. And ignorance of the languages can become very, very dangerous. It's just the way that it works, that the scriptures were written in Hebrew and in Greek, some Aramaic and Daniel and so forth. But to study them, especially as one given to study them, as a pastor is, or as a theologian or a professor or whatever it would be, you should be studying them in the original languages. And that's a call to action for a lot of pastors, including myself, who let languages get sloppy because the busyness and the concerns of this world and even the concerns of the church, the busyness of being a pastor and things like that, probably don't afford always the luxury of keeping fresh on the languages. Mm-hmm. But Luther's words always come as a good reminder that, well, you better start trying again. So good call to action in that respect. So, and then we've had a couple articles in the last week about engaging culture, both from different sources. One is a review of Dr. Harold St. Bell's excellent article in the Concordia Journal, which is the St. Louis Seminary's journal, theological journal, in which he talks about culture and engaging culture. And the other one here is from the LCMS blog, blogs.lcms.org. And they've had a number of great articles lately about different aspects, and this one is by Aaron Wolf, a layman, in which he writes great stuff, engage the culture, question mark, don't. And, of course, that again, he goes and spends a lot of time discussing the word culture and where it comes from. And so if you want to mean culture as in civilization, then what's the engagement about? Is there something new the church needs to learn that it has not already been given? And there, I think you get the answer that, well, there isn't anything new that the church needs to learn for its task. You know, it's been given everything it needs by its Lord. So we don't need to be looking to the world to provide something for us that God has already given. So then there's the whole language of course, engagement. Well, when you're engaged, you're going to become married. So this is not a call, of course, to anti-evangelism or anything like that. It's just a matter of knowing who the world is and knowing who the church is and knowing what the church has been given already. And that doesn't mean you don't reach out into the world, but it does mean that there are certain faithful ways of doing that, and then there are unfaithful ways of doing that. So,
well, thanks,
be on the lookout.
Thank you, Pastor Scheer. And
absolutely.
A blessed first, well, is this the first week? Yeah, I guess we're in our first week of Advent. Yeah.
First week in Advent, yep.
We'll talk again next week.
Lord's blessings, Andy.
Thank you. To you as well. Coming up, and you can find out more, listeners, you can find out more at steadfastlutherans.org. You can read more of the articles there. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our conversation with Dr. Bob Weiss. Stick around for more of his time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.